Hey, Happy New Year.
Yeah. What?
You did it. Hopefully you went outside and woke up your neighbors and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, bang pots and pans.
Yeah.
Do we do that here?
Huh?
You do that here?
I can either confirm or deny that I did.
Yeah,
that.
I didn't do it.
Yeah. So.
But anyway, we're super grateful to be able to see you this morning. Because you clicked on this video, you're watching.
Yep.
That means that you're doing something right to start off your year. So we're excited.
Yep.
And so
Feels like we're connected.
That's right. Yeah. So similar to last week, we've got some worship videos we want to encourage you to watch as a family. We've got some more kids program that we've
yep.
got going on. And then we have another Bible reading. And then we got another message that we're going to share.
Yep.
And some more study resources for you guys to engage as a family.
Ruth chapter 4 is what's coming this morning. And we're going to be talking about new beginnings. Hey, it's January 1st. Thank you for tuning in with us.
You're calling me over. You're pulling me close. With love you surround me. You give me hope. Yeah, yeah, hey. You're taking me deeper.
Glad you're here. Now, last week when we got together, Miss Lori started reading you the story about Ruth in the Bible, right? We kind of left it at a cliffhanger because Ruth and Naomi they had just gotten back to Jerusalem and things were not looking so good. Everybody in town said, Naomi, you look awful. What is happening? They lost their husbands. It was really sad. They didn't have any money. But God had a plan. So just like New Year is a time where we look hopefully to the new year and where it's full of hope, we're going to look at this story with hope and find out what God did that really changed the story for Ruth and Naomi. So it's a little bit silly. I hope you stick with me and listen to the story though, okay? Oh, Naomi, please don't cry. Oh, please don't cry. I'll tell you why. I'll find a farm. I'll be real nice. I'll ask them once or maybe twice to take our jugs and jars and sacks and fill them full of treats and snacks, just like you're having. Yes, crumbs and morsels, flakes and flecks, leftover kernels, crumbs and specks, a black banana, bagels, lox, some... You do? Yeah. Some cheese. Oh, they make good smoothies. You're right.
We make smoothies with
black bananas. Yep, that's a good plan for black bananas. Well, Miss Ruthie had to ask for some, so she was asking for some cheese stuck to a pizza box. I'll beg and plead. I'll sob and bleat. I'll ask them for a tasty treat, an itsy-bitsy, teeny-weeny, tiny scrap for us to eat. So off she went. She did her thing. She did it never noticing that someone fastening his bulging eyes on everything. Who is that girl and out in my field? And what's she doing? Boaz squealed. Look at that hair. Look at those eyes. Excuse me 1 minute, guys. I've got to go and socialize. No, Boaz wasn't one to miss an opportunity like this. He shaved his toes, he licked his lips, he checked his teeth for cracks and chips. He combed the bugs out of his hair. Yes, Don Juan, double debonair with savoir-faire extraordinaire. Now don't be quick to judge, amen? Well, don't think what you're thinking then, for Boaz was a gentleman. Please stay with us, take what you need, take what you need and more indeed. He loaded up all Ruthie's sacks and jugs and jars with treats and snacks. Yes, it was true love at first sight, a double thumping heart delight. She headed home. Oh, what she'd found. Her world was turning upside down. She ran the whole way back to town, about 10 feet above the ground. I'm telling you, tonight's the night. Naomi grinned, and if I'm right, there's only one thing left to do, to get that man to say, I do. So do they did. Oh, did they do? They fluffed and puffed. They crimped and curled. They powdered, sweet perfumed and pearled. They thanked the Lord. They sang his praise. They marveled at his wondrous ways. And off she went into the night to have and hold her Mr. Right, her Mr. Shining Armored Knight, her straight from heaven sent delight. Now, as I'm sure that you supposed, Boaz said yes when Ruth proposed. Yes, Ruth proposed. That's what I said. Just look it up. Go right ahead. They tied the knot and lived to be quite happy ever afterly. And soon God blessed them with a son, a precious little baby one. But wait, the story's far from done. Because their son, he was the one who had a son who had a kid known as King David. Yes, he did. And David was the great, 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 times three, times one, plus eight, great granddad of the man whose wife you've probably heard of all your life. The man whose son, to be precise, was Jesus. No, yes, Jesus Christ. Just take a second, think it through. Oh, what God will go and do. For God is love and love is kind, the kindest that you'll ever find, the kindest that you'll ever see. That's something else. Don't you agree? See how God worked out that plan for Ruth and Naomi? Because Ruth was obedient and stayed with Naomi. He had her meet Boaz, and they had a baby, and that baby, let's see, they had Obed, and Obed had Jesse, and Jesse had David, and because they had King David, down the line came Jesus. And that is what the season is all about. We're
Didn't Jesse have eight sons?
Oh, Samuel. Samuel went to Jesse's eight sons, and he picked David to be the king. Very good. You remembered a lot of that story. Yeah.
I remembered it, too. Good job.
Yes. You guys are doing so good with studying the Bible and learning the stories and hiding God's word in your heart. That's really important. So I'm so glad that you could be here, and I'm so glad that we got to hear the story about Ruth. It's kind of fun when the kids get to learn about the same things as the grown-ups. And that's the amazing thing about the Bible is no matter how long you study it, if you study it from when you're Charlie's size to when you're Weston's size to when you're my size or Pastor Tim's size, everybody can learn something from the Bible, and you can always learn something new no matter how many times you go over a story. So that's something to be thankful for and to maybe even work more for in the new year now, we can work on hiding God's word in our heart more and learning more in new stories. So thanks for hanging out with us, guys.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not, as Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt. Time and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love.
Good morning. Happy New Year. I am Amy Lukacik, and I'm going to read Ruth chapter 4. I love the book of Ruth. I love how it gives us hope that God uses all of our stories, no matter how different we are, and no matter what we've been through or what we're going through. And I love how he uses Ruth to point us ultimately to the story of Jesus. So Ruth chapter 4 says, "Now Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz spoke was passing by. So he said, 'Turn aside, friend, sit down here.' And he turned aside and sat down. He took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. And then he said to the closest relative, "Naomi, who has come back from the land of Moab, has to sell the piece of land which belonged to our father Elimelech. So I thought to inform you, saying, buy it before those who are sitting here and before the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also acquire Ruth, the Moabitess, the widow of the deceased, in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance." The closest relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, because I would jeopardize my own inheritance. Redeem it for yourself. You may have my right of redemption, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times of Israel concerning the redemption and the exchange of land to confirm any matter. A man removed his sandal and gave it to another, and this was the manner of attestation in Israel. So the closest relative said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses today that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Moreover, I have acquired Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, to be my wife in order to raise up the name of the deceased on his inheritance, so that the name of the deceased will not be cut off from his brothers or from the court of his birthplace. You are witnesses today." All the people who were in the court and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, both of whom built the house of Israel. And may you achieve wealth in Ephrathah and become famous in Bethlehem. Moreover, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, through the offspring which the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her. And the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than seven sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. To Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron was born Ram, and to Ram, Aminadab. And Aminadab was born Nashon, and to Nashon, Salmon. And to Salmon was born Boaz, and to Boaz, Obed. And to Obed was born Jesse, and to Jesse, David.
Like the frost on a rose, winter comes for us all. Oh, how nature acquaints us with the nature of patience. Like a seed in the snow, I've been buried to grow. For your promise is loyal, from sea to sequoia. I know, though the winter's long, even richer than the harvest it brings, though my waiting prolongs.
all I know of harvest is that it's worth my patience. Then if you're not done working, God, I'm not done waiting. You can see my promise.
Thank you, Amy, for reading Ruth chapter 4. And I don't know about you, Tim, but I love Ruthie.
I thoroughly enjoyed the children's book.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Lori did great on the 25th.
Yep.
And Maggie, she had some tongue-tying words.
Oh, my goodness.
To read just a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
That was amazing. This morning, it's January 1st. So, I mean, typically when, you know, the beginning of the January, first day of the calendar year, it's real simple this morning. We're just going to talk about new beginnings. But we're also going to focus on new beginnings through the book of Ruth, what we've been talking about. And I want to just highlight some things this morning. When you think about Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz, the reality is when you read the narrative, you can just see that there wasn't anything magnificent going on. There wasn't anything, not any shock and awe or anything like that. They were just trying to live their lives and trying to be the good, righteous people so that they could glorify their God.
Right.
I mean, just each and every day.
Trying to survive the day.
I yeah, mean, no,
focus
absolutely.
On getting
absolutely.
Food, taking care of family.
Yeah.
That's just what they're doing.
Normal, mundane, what we would call mundane things in life. They're just trying to make it through. And all three of them were loving, loyal, and faithful to God and his recorded truth. Now, I want to mention that all three of them, as you just said, we're just trying to do their best that they could in a dark world that they lived in. Their daily decisions, and think about this, their daily decisions just seemed like normal, functional choices.
Right.
And yet they were being used in a more powerful way than they could ever imagine.
Right. I think they died not ever knowing.
Absolutely. Not even having a clue about the impact of even what we're studying and what we're talking about today. But just think about that. They were just, you know, normal functional choices that just seemed like small choices, you know, just like you said, every day trying to deal with normal life. And yet the amazing way that God blessed and was glorified through that, we even feel the ramifications of because of the Christmas season, this new year, us being able to anticipate with hope the coming year. Oh, my goodness. Fantastic. So I want you to think about this. Small choices of a truthful and righteous pursuit, those small choices matter to God.
Yeah.
Small choices matter to God. Seemingly, little decisions of faith have huge consequences in God's kingdom. Seemingly, little decisions of faith have huge consequences in God's kingdom.
And that's good.
Let me say it like this. Small choices or seemingly little decisions pave the way, pave the path for God's mighty provision. I mean, when you look at all that we've been studying, all that we've been talking about in the book of Ruth, from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4, it just seems like a snapshot of a difficult, challenging life, obstacles, different disappointments, depressing things going on. I mean, even the thing that you mentioned last week about she wanted to be called, hey, don't call me Naomi.
Right.
Call me
bitter.
Yeah, call me bitter. I mean, that's not having a good day. That's not having a good week. That's a little bit of a rough life. And yet, in the middle of that, those little decisions, those small choices, they added up and they paved a path for God's incredible provision. I don't know about anybody else, but for me, I want to experience, not just one time, but on a regular basis, I want to experience God's mighty provision for me, for this church family. I want to see God do great things. And so I want to remind you, I'm going to read this verse from the NLT. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 10, and you can go back and read the parable for yourself. But in verse 10, it says, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest with the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, especially in our current culture where, we're looking for these big, glorious, you know, I got locked and I got tapped by 1,000 people. This is going to go viral. All these big, you know, notoriety things. I think that sometimes it's easy for us to overlook that God meets us in those small choices, those seemingly mundane decisions.
Yeah. Sometimes we're trying to be used by God, but we're like waiting for like this big thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that's what I think you're trying to say is like, like God's present in even just our small little decisions. Like they might seem pointless, but God works through just our obedience.
Absolutely.
Even the smallest thing.
And there wasn't anything like overwhelmingly huge about anything in this narrative.
No.
From chapter 1 to chapter 4.
No.
There wasn't anything. It's just like it's clicking along. Like this is what was going on. These were the challenges. And yet, not only this incredible provision for Naomi, this incredible provision for Ruth, this incredible blessing for Boaz, but then generationally, like we are able to experience that provision because of their small choices. And if you think about new beginnings, I want to just mention, I want to give you kind of a quick overview because this is kind of blowing my mind. We've talked about this a little bit. But when we want to talk about new beginnings from our study of, in Judges and now Ruth, I want to go back to Joshua chapter 2 through chapter 6 and mention that Rahab, if we go all the way back, and I think it's important for us to look at Rahab because Rahab, as well as Ruth, are mentioned in the lineage of our Lord.
Yeah.
So as we've just gone through the season of celebrating the birth of our Savior and Lord, Joshua chapter 2 through chapter 6 talks about Rahab. And this was a Canaanite woman who becomes the wife of Salmon, an Israelite from the tribe of Judah. And it's amazing that the scripture talks about this innkeeper prostitute, that the way that she's instrumental in the children of Israel taking Jericho.
Right.
After all of that, her household is the only one that's saved, and she marries Salmon. And then Rahab's offspring is this righteous man named Boaz.
Wow.
So Boaz was the actual, he was from a mixed marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, she was a Canaanite woman. And then we have Ruth, that next generation. Ruth was a Moabite woman. And she marries, this Moabite woman marries a son of the nation of Israel from Bethlehem.
Yeah.
So then Boaz, who is a child of a mixed marriage, marries a woman of a mixed marriage and becomes a kinsman redeemer.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know about you, but I just see Rahab, Jericho, new beginnings with Salmon. They have a son, Boaz.
Yeah.
I believe that Boaz was an older man and was single, very wealthy, rich, successful.
Yeah.
Which that's another whole conversation. I would imagine the Rahab gave him a lot of straightforward instruction.
Oh, yeah.
About women.
Probably, yeah.
I think that he was a good judge of character. But then you see all these new beginnings, and then, like Ruth, there's a new beginning when she comes back to Bethlehem. She goes from being a pagan to being a follower, a believer of Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yeah. And then you see her, all that she does, and then Boaz, they create this new relationship, this new marriage. Naomi is redeemed. Their inheritance is redeemed.
Yeah.
So you see all these new things, and these new things, these new beginnings are coming out of what could be considered dark, overwhelming, incredibly negative situations, and yet God bursts all these new beginnings out of these situations. And all this is the groundwork. Think about these new beginnings generationally become the groundwork, the foundation for the new covenant, the New Testament, and the new beginnings of salvation by grace through faith because of this new Lamb of God that's come into the world to take away our sin.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but January 1st, what we're going to be studying, some of the questions that we're going to be asking, let's focus on what does God want us to focus on? What is God trying to accomplish?
Sure.
What new things does he have for us this year of 2023? I don't know about you, Chris, but I'm super excited to see God's mighty provision for us in 2023.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm encouraged. I don't know if you're like me, but when you hear something like that, kind of get like overwhelmed kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But let's take the truth from what you just shared with us. And, you know, God shows up in our everyday decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes the very first thing that I'm going to be doing here as I process that, like, God, what have you placed right in front of me right now?
Yeah.
And how can you use that? And so
the people know, right near me. The situation's right.
Yeah.
Not longing for something different, but what about these small choices, these daily, seemingly mundane decisions right in front of me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's glorify God. And whatever you do in word or deed, like it says in Colossians chapter 3, let's do all those little simple mundane things for his glory.
Yeah.
Hey, Happy New Year. Thanks for being with us this morning.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. But every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah. Just one move with my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a heart. Hallelujah, and I know it's
soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song.
Super grateful that you were joining with us, but we're even more grateful that we're going to be able to see you on January 8th.
Back at the barn. Back at Rinbeck.
So we're excited to be able to celebrate.
Launch the new year, new beginnings. We got some new things we're going to be talking about.
Are we allowed to tell them or no?
Yeah, go ahead. I mean, if you want to.
I can't remember.
I'm not going to say anything. Huh?
I can't remember what.
But it's so secret. No, it's not a secret.
No,
but
we just didn't title it.
Yeah. But we're going to be casting a vision. Yeah, that's it. Vision casting for January. Super excited. God is opening some doors. He's made some things very clear. And we've got to just start having some dialogue about, okay, what does the future look like for the Mountain View Chapel family?
What's God calling us to do and be?
Absolutely. And it's got to be about more people, meeting more people's needs, making more disciples, sharing the gospel with more people, just grassroots stuff.
Yeah.
But super exciting. So we're going to launch January the 8th, two services back at Rinbeck, 8:30 and 10:30.
Yep. So we'll see you there.
All right. Great job.